Globalism v. Nationalism Part 6. By Jonathan Davis. Hello again, friends. Last time out we looked at the state of the parties and the Tory leadership race. Since then Boris Johnson, as was widely expected, has become Prime Minister. Trump has gone into full attack mode and is now firmly on the campaign trail for 2020. The protests against Macron continue across France. As usual, the silence is deafening when it comes to the UK MSM reporting on them. Oh, and wax my balls, bigot. Boris is now our Prime Minister, our leader, glorious or otherwise. Despite being from a family of Remainers, Boris backed Brexit and vote leave. So far, he is making all the right noises, destroying Corbyn in the Commons. Careful, Boris, they might replace him with someone good. But is all as it would appear? Many would say Boris is only out for Boris. I would agree to an extent. However, I think he realizes what is best for Boris as Prime Minister is being able to deliver Brexit. If he hitches his fortunes to the Brexit bandwagon, then all well and good. As I have said previously, if the Tories don't deliver Brexit by October 31st, they will be gone and out of power for a generation. They may never recover. However, the Tories also have a track record of cucking. Many fear being served up a rehash of May's deal. There is talk of removing the backstop, as if this was the only thing wrong with May's deal. Boris is also already talking of abandoning the targets to reduce immigration, replacing it with a points-based system. For many, this will be a make-or-break issue. Boris is full of bluster, talking extremely quickly, which always worries me, as if he is trying to make up for something. I have noticed over the years that various people, late revealed as fakers, have the same habit. Compare this with the more reserved wit and intelligence of Jacob Rees-Mogg. For all that, Boris is good entertainment value. I just hope he can fulfill his promises. I will believe nothing until we have actually left the EU and 16 million Remainers cry out in mental anguish. Until then, it looks like we will have to take the rough with the smooth. Boris' new cabinet is causing much false outrage. Sky News describe Priti Patel as right-wing, pro-leave, anti-gay marriage, pro-death penalty and once described as a modern-day Norman Tebbit. Now tell me her bad points. Mogg looks assured as leader of the House, while there is a proper Brexiteer in Rob. Sajid Javid is Sajid Javid. At least he has a background in banking. There are a few dodgy appointments, such as Amber Rudd. If I were Boris, I would have purged all Remainers. Let's just hope some of these decisions don't come back to bite him. The hotly contested and much talked about Brecon and Radnor by-election has produced interesting results. Lib Dems took the seat. It looks like they mainly took votes from Labour, judging by the size of the swing. The Tories lost it, with a 10-point swing to the Brexit Party. What can we read into this? First, put it into context. It was a by-election, not a general election. Turnout was well down on the 2017 vote. The Tories put up the same candidate who had been found guilty of expenses fraud. This was a hangover from the failed May regime. Boris would have had no time to change it. It speaks volumes about that administration, that they virtually conceded the seat and weren't bothered, not wanting to contest it. No wonder May couldn't deliver Brexit. Their will just wasn't there. The Brexit Party performed lower than expectations. This may be the result of the Boris bounce. What it does show is that if the Tories don't deliver an EU exit by 31 October, they are toast at the next election. The Brexit Party can ensure they lose key marginals. They don't need to win seats to take the Tories down. This should hopefully hold their feet to the fire. Some talk of a Tory Brexit Party deal. I fear this will just lead to Boris not delivering and trying to pass May's old deal, as he thinks he would win an election against a weak Corbyn. The Tories had 3 years to leave the EU, with a working majority, yet they did nothing. They need serious pressure. Unfortunately, UKIP barely troubled the scorers. Their descent into self-destruction continues, with Gerard Batten banned from the leadership contest. On the other hand, across the pond, President Trump is on fire. An actual nationalist leader, pumped up and ready for re-election. Trump is taking on issues that matter to his nationalist base. He is talking tough on the border, and recently the US Supreme Court ruled in his favor about using defense funds to build the wall, or at least part of it. Despite being called racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic and literally Hitler, Trump is refusing to back down. Instead of uselessly virtue signaling to the left and the globalists like our weak-willed and spineless UK politicians, he is going on the offensive. President Trump's rhetoric is on point, and it is highly precise, like a laser-guided verbal cruise missile. Trump knows his supporter base are fed up with people bashing the USA, constantly talking them down, endless identity politics, the far-left globalist agenda, labeling people, etc. He called out the so-called squad by name, highlighting what they say and what they do. The four are arch-globalists, make no mistake. They are playing into Trump's hands. He wants them front and center of the Democrat campaign, so that people can see what they are really all about. Trump has given voice to what many in the silent majority feel. If you don't like it here, if the country you are in is so terrible, why are you here? Why don't you just leave? Many of us feel this way about Remainers who are constantly bad-mouthing the UK, for example. Trump also points out how bad things are in the countries they have left. This was extremely powerful rhetoric, moving the political conversation towards nationalism and shifting the Overton window in a single tweet. At a rally, crowds spontaneously broke into chants of, "Send her back." This may have been too powerful even for Trump, as he uncharacteristically backed off a bit the next day. Even so, the pattern is set. I fully expect Trump to be elected again. Especially when you see the freaky lineup of potential Democrat candidates, all of whom support open borders. The EU continues to impress. Not content with populist governments in Poland, Hungary, and Italy, the AfD rising in Germany, the Sweden Democrats gaining, populist parties making headway in the Netherlands, the Macron regime struggling with nearly 40 weeks of continuous protests, all added to Brexit, it's full speed ahead to more Europe. This globalist institution has no shame. Who was going to replace the mighty Jean-Claude Juncker? Why, the failed German defense minister, von der Leyen. And who to succeed Draghi at the European Central Bank? Why, convicted criminal Lagarde, found guilty of financial negligence. I'm sure our £350 million a week is in safe hands. These appointments were decided in backroom deals, with no public transparency. They were then voted on by MEPs. Von der Leyen won by 9 votes. Yet Remainers keep telling us the EU is far more democratic than the UK. I guess the dogma dies hard when you are that indoctrinated. Back in Blighty, the Labour Party continues to shine. The Labour Party continues to implode. Remainers blame leavers, Corbynites blame Blairites and vice versa. Corbyn came under huge pressure to change Labour's Brexit stance. So, he did. Sort of. Labour are now committed to a second referendum in all circumstances, and campaigning for Remain, unless of course they negotiate a deal themselves. Since this triumphant switch, they have been falling in the polls. As many of us have said all along, they ignore working class Leave voters at their peril. Many pointed to the Labour vote in 2017 being mainly middle class Remainers. Well, Labour lost that election by around 60 seats against the worst Prime Minister in living memory. All the while the anti-Semitism scandals continue to dog Labour. They have invested themselves in globalism, championing migrants and their causes. When you import people, you also import their problems. One of these is the Middle East. Thousands of Palestinian flags were waved at the party conference. Many new arrivals that Labour targets as potential voters don't like Israel and by extension the Jews. Add to this the old communist and socialist tropes about Jews and you get a party full of anti-Semitism. Their approach to solving this has been laughable. Anti-Semites are regularly readmitted. It seems Labour care more about the new votes than Jewish members. They have also lost the plot over Boris cabinet appointments. Labour has championed the wondrous diversity. Now Boris appoints diverse ministers. It is the wrong type of diversity. In the same way Venezuela was the wrong type of socialism. The outpouring of bile has been ugly to say the least. So, what next? I think there will be a general election soon. Boris won't want to chance things with a majority of one. The timing will be interesting. If he delivers Brexit, it will be shortly after 31st October and he is likely to win a thumping majority. Fail to deliver and hold it after, with the promise of "we'll definitely deliver this time, trust me," then the Tories are likely to be destroyed. Hold it before and he risks a Remainer surge to stop Brexit. We live in interesting times. Copyright Jonathan Davis 2019.